Today we're going to talk about ChatGPT and token economics, and we are going to have a little debate about it. And with me today, I'll have Kifa, Gio, and Femi is just connecting. So we're going to look at how can ChatGPT make good token economics, and can ChatGPT actually do that?
Hey everybody, got a lot of interesting stuff to chat about today, and looking at the future of chatbots and how that might affect token economies.
All right, so let's just get started. And I want to start off with understanding what is this experiment about, then going a little bit deeper level into understanding what token economics is. Then we'll talk about what the ChatGPT token model is, and then we can start critiquing it. So what is this experiment about? Recently, I keep looking at different kind of Twitter threads where they ask ChatGPT to create an economics model. And with that, they say, oh, okay, ChatGPT can do this. Why do we need humans to do it? So what I want to see is, what I want to analyze is understanding ChatGPT's competency at creating token models. So what is this token model? What is this token economics that we're talking about? The important thing is that token economics is more than just create a circle, draw some lines, and create different kind of pie charts, and then you distribute that. It's about creating the rules of the economy. It's not just about marketing, and it's actually not marketing. It's about business operations and monetization strategy. It requires a bit more consideration than pie chart and create a pie chart and splitting it, because the tokens represent the economy health as well as the system design. So here's what we asked ChatGPT to do, and I would like, you know, Kifa, Gio, and Femi to chime in and critique that, and then also open the floor to everyone else.
And before,
so I asked ChatGPT to create a full tokenomics model for my Web3 game. Gio, do you want to share what did ChatGPT say?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to compliment the introduction that ChatGPT really outputs what most people think about tokenomics. And when we talk about tokenomics, usually people think about the pie chart that you mentioned. So that's why ChatGPT recurs to that, because that's what's available in the internet. When you search for it, you get this concept, which is kind of misleading. So we asked ChatGPT to pretty much build a token model to see what it would output for us. And it's pretty much, I'm going to summarize the answer so that we don't go too long, and we're going to start like criticizing it a little bit. The first thing is that he called the token game coin, initial supply of 1 billion fixed, so no minting in the future. GC, which is the game coin, used to unlock new levels, features, and items. Players can earn completing tasks, challenges, or levels, or purchasing it. And it can also be used to purchase premium content, other features, or other items that are not available with basic tokens. And then it kind of gave us the pie chart that Lisa was talking about. And the way that he distributed that was 500 million, so 50% to game development team, marketing and operations, 200 million to early investors, 200 million to a reserve fund for future use, and 100 million for public sale. So again, we're gonna talk a little bit about this, but you can already see some of the mistakes that it makes. So 50% for game development team, marketing, operations, these are like very different things that should be split and should have additional consideration into it. Just to finalize what he output on token sale, public sale of GC will be at sale price of 10 cents, minimum purchase amount of $10 worth. And the sale is going to be on a first come, first serve basis. Anything else that I forgot?
So I think before we start discussing and diving deep into how all the different details that ChatGPT mentioned, the first thing first is, what is done well in, is there anything that's done well with ChatGPT's token model? Again, all we gave is just asking them to create a full tokenomics model. And what they gave us in return is the token distribution, the token supply, and general token utility. What are the, are there any good points that we should look at and we should complement? Kifa, do you want to say something?
Yeah, so they did think a little bit about the utility of the token and some creativity in that direction. But something perhaps starting to go into more of the critiquing side is looking at, you need to think a little bit more about the fundamental goals of a project. And so sometimes, and even a lot of human developers are guilty of this, of just kind of copying what other projects are doing in terms of the utility of the token or the supply of the token, and just looking at what other people are doing without actually thinking about what are the fundamental goals that you have for your particular project, because not all projects are the same. Using a benchmarking strategy based on what others are doing, which is essentially the primary strategy used by AI, like really looking at what are others doing and how can you do something based on that. But it's not looking at what makes this project unique, and how can you think about these utility options and supply that are reflective of what is going to be most beneficial for that particular scenario. And that can be the main differentiator for what actually makes any of these projects successful or have good tokenomics in general.
And I wanted to add that the fact that it can generate a kind of a token distribution or a token model of utility without knowing much about what the game is actually doing, what is the client profile, or like the gamer profile, is something that really raises the red flags, right? There are a lot of projects that are doing this, and they're basically looking at what others are doing and copying it without really taking into consideration what's different for their project, what's specific for that project, what you want to achieve with the token, to really build your tokenomics around that.
One thing that they have is the distribution to the various kind of economic agents. We have developers as an economic agent, investors, reserve fund, which I guess is the DAO, and public sale. Do you have any thoughts around that? Is it good to just create distribution like that? Or if not, what are the things that we need to think about when defining token distribution?
So this is another area that is very common to see projects do just based on benchmarks. So companies will think about, okay, how much should we take for our team? And then they look and say like, okay, it's pretty common that teams take, say, 10 to 20% of the total supply of their token and just use that as a reference point without thinking about what are the actual implications around this. And so you can think about, you should be thinking more about what is the actual cash flow needed to the team. So if this is going to be to fund a certain type of team growth and ongoing operations for the platform, what do those costs actually look like in US dollar terms? What is the expected, what is the forecasted price for this token? More realistically, how many tokens are actually going to be needed to fund the operations if tokens are the primary method for this? And even figuring out if that's the case, like you need to think about what are the main funding sources, how does that tie into VC? And if some of the operational funding is going to be VC focused, then that ties into the investor allocation. And so you need to have a fundamental understanding of how is this project going to be financed? What does all that look from a quantitative financial forecast perspective? And so just benchmarking against a certain quantities of token based on what other people are doing is not paying any attention to what your specific project is actually lining up and achieving. And also thinking about what impact does this have on, or what impact does vesting have on this? So say you have your company is relying on some of these cash flows, or you're getting 10% of the tokens. It makes a difference if you're getting 10% of the tokens over the first 2 years, or versus if there's no unlocks until 3 or 4 years down the line. From a discounted cash flows finance perspective, those are very different values on the worth of those tokens to the creators. And so that's something that's overlooked even by those who are just doing the benchmarking. And so there's a lot of just surface level thinking about what actually goes into this token distribution. And again, we're only talking about a small part of what makes up the economics, but even this tiny portion about the distribution of the pie chart has a lot of nuances that are being missed here by this AI model.
Yeah, and I think it links a lot to the economy part. People think about tokenomics only in the pie chart, but a big part is like the token economy as a whole. So how does that work? And people start from the pie chart and this like dividing the distribution. But in reality, what you're saying is it's a reverse math thing, right? So if you know that you need this much funding, what does that look in terms of tokens? What does that look in terms of vesting? And especially when projects are using tokens that are their main primary source of funds, they should think of like project development and user adoption versus the vesting schedules, right? So you can't know what percentage or how fast you can release for tokens without knowing how fast your economy is going to develop. So how fast it can absorb this amount of tokens. And that ties into the token distribution that we're talking about. So how can you say that you're going to be selling 10% of your tokens for public sale without knowing actually how much funding do you have? What does that look like in terms of inflation of your tokens over time? And if your economy can bring you up to speed and match the same vesting schedules that you're setting there.
So to conclude, it sounds like what the ChatGPT has done is just, this is the token this is the total token supply that we have, and this is how we're going to divide it. X percentage to different economic agent types. But what we're saying over here is that it's going to be quite difficult because it doesn't take into consideration the actual usage of funds, the forecasted cash flow, the realistic operational fund to run the projects, as well as understanding the impact vesting and the overall business model. It also doesn't take into consideration proper economy design to result in sustainable functioning of the economy. So instead of doing it, this is the total token supply, and it's how we're going to divide it by five different kind of economic agents. What we should do instead is to start thinking about what does the economy look like? What is user adoption? What is user retention? What is the financial economic model that we need? You know, how much money do we need from a cash flow perspective before we start doing the token distribution? Because then it's more sustainable and it makes more sense. So the other thing they also talked about, other than total token supply and token distribution, is your token utility. So they do have some general idea of token utility, especially how tokens can be used in games. And ChatGPT mentioned unlocking new features, you earn tokens by completing tasks or levels, or you can purchase the tokens with premium money, with real money. So is this good or bad? What are your thoughts on just defining token utility just like that?
For me, it doesn't really make sense to define the token utility if you don't know much about the project. So each project is very different from other projects, unless we're copying another one, and usually it fails. But to understand how the token is going to be used and what's the utility for that token, we need to fully understand what's the project about and what makes the project different, and how are going to, like, the users are going to be interacting with the project and the token specifically. I feel that what ChatGPT does is it just spits like very generic information that kind of makes sense in most cases that doesn't really apply to any specific project. So it's as if like it's almost small talk in the end. It's like pretending that it knows about something, but it doesn't really go into the details. While in this specific case, the devil is in the details. Every project, either a game or a DeFi project, has its own specifics. And if we don't really cover those and challenge them, we can't really talk about the token utility. That's my point of view.
Yeah, and also I think that it misses a big point of like, what is this token for? So what's the purpose of the token? So they talk about utility for use, they talk about a ways for you to earn, they also talk it as a means of payment. So like, what is this token about? What is it supposed to be? Is it supposed to accrue value from the economy and increase in price because the game is developing or the project is developing as a whole? Or is this supposed to just be a mean of payment and facilitating transactions within that ecosystem, right? That's like a very different category of tokens if you want it to be value accrual or if you want it to be mean of payments. And we see that it kind of mixes all of those together. right? The fixed supply, but at the same time, is how you get rewards. So if the rewards pool is depleted, how do you reward players after that? Or like, you can use it as a to purchase items, but what about the stability? Does it update the price depending on what price level the token is? So a lot of these things that Femi also talked about, devil's in the details. So if you don't structure your token with a purpose, with one single direct purpose, you're going to be lost in the process. You're going to have a token that is none of those. It's not going to be accruing value from your ecosystem. It's not going to be facilitating payments. It's actually going to be making it more difficult. And you're not going to reach the goals that you want with it.
So it sounds like with utility, with the token utility, that's just generally defined based on what other people are doing, a bit more of like an industry benchmark. It's a good idea to have that to kickstart, but it's definitely not enough to go and fundraise or to go and have a proper conversation with the community, because each game and each project is very different. Let's take games, for example. An RPG versus a hyper-casual game will result in very different kind of token utility model. The token utility is also a reflection of the token purpose. And if we don't define the token purpose, as Gio said, then the utility might not help us to achieve those purposes. The token supply and demand will not help to balance the economy that we're in. So one thing about balancing supply and demand is token burning. And we see a lot of token burning or token sinks in games in this model. And the token burn suggested by ChatGPT is that you just take a proportion of revenue generated for the game and burn it. So what are your thoughts around that? Is this good enough to get things started? Is this good enough to go and fundraise based on this? Or are there some risks where we just say that, oh, take a portion of revenue generated and burn it?
Yes, this is something where there's should be in-depth consideration about the implications of design strategy. And something that we think about very frequently in doing our economy design is, what is the regulatory implication of any recommendation that we make? And we're able to really think deeply and get a lot of feedback and be at the cutting edge of this as we're in conversations with a lot of different projects and their private legal counsel and what they're saying about all these different types of designs. There's generally not public information that could be pulled from by an AI platform, even one that was hooked up to the internet. And the regulation is something that in this space right now is so nebulous, and there's a lot of unknowns. And so the specific details of an implementation can make a huge difference on how a particular implementation of a burning, for example, can have a regulatory impact. Although we're finding with token burning in general, there's been some learnings that across the board this can put you at a very high risk of violating securities laws, and so this recommendation in general definitely should come with a qualifier that this should be reviewed by a legal team, and even from an initial standpoint may not be advisable if you want to avoid being designated as a security down the line.
Yeah, and I think the interpretation that you're talking about is like almost a parallel as a buyback, right? So instead of taking shares from the market and putting to the company back, you're literally just taking these shares or tokens out of circulation forever, which has similar effects. So that's why the regulation part comes into it. But also I just wanted to complement the burn part, in which, again, it ties back to the initial purpose of the token. Again, when I look at this burn that has a preset amount, I'm worried if we're going to have tokens on the long term, right? So in 5 years, after a game has a lot of players, has generated a lot of revenue, has distributed all of these rewards, do we still have enough tokens to reward players? Do we still have enough tokens in circulation that it makes it easier that it facilitates payment rather than make it harder? So when I see this burn without a counterparty of like, what's the purpose of the token and how are we ensuring that this is sustainable, it's where it really gets me and turns the red light.
Yeah, and personally, I'm not a big fan of like programming token burning, especially when you have a fixed supply. So that comes back to your comment, Gio. So it's in the end, if you keep burning tokens, you won't have enough tokens to either to burn or even to use in your ecosystem. So the token burning has to be well thought of, and it has to like be done, I think, on a case by case and not being programmed to be like a 20% of every transaction or whatever, something like that.
So in conclusion, token burn, it's good that the ChatGPT comes up with token burns. Otherwise it will be complete inflationary pressure, and without demand for these tokens, you come into a hyperinflationary ecosystem that's definitely not what we want. So some aspect of token burn or token sync is important. At the same time, you can't just slap the word token burn and be enough with your ecosystem, because you have to think about regulation, and you also have to think about this ecosystem that we're creating. We're creating kind of a semi-closed loop ecosystem with its own supply and demand that it needs to balance. And if you keep burning tokens because it promotes the revenue of different kind of token holders, but it results in an inefficient quantity of tokens to be circulated, that will create a different kind of problem in the system in the long run. One other thing that they talked about, which is probably the last part, is token sale. And token sale, I know token sale is something that a lot of people think about, which is, I've got my tokens, now I want to sell it, I need to raise funds from the public, and I need to start building my project. And so they just set the price at 10 cents per token, with a minimum purchase of $10 worth of tokens. Then that's it. That's the token sale methodology, that's the token sale model. Do you guys have any comments about that? Is it good, is it bad? What is good and what is bad?
Well, again, this is very basic. In the end, it's defining a token price based on nothing. And there's no different phases like the pre-seed, the seed round, the private sale, the public sale. And there's no incentives to people to hop on board earlier, for example. And there's no implications that come after that, especially on the cliffs and the vesting schedules that should come as counterparts to having a discount on the token in the beginning. So this is a very, very, very basic strategy of saying, yeah, we should sell the tokens at 10 cents and the minimum purchase should be $10, because that to me is missing a lot of additional opportunities in terms of like token launch strategies.
Yeah, I see this in like two big points that caught my attention. The first one, I think it's the most obvious one. So it's the valuation. So what justifies your project having in this example, with 1 billion token selling 10% at 10 cents, it would be a 100 million valuation. So what justifies that? Does it make sense for your project? If you go for the market and you tell them that your project's worth 100 million, because that's pretty much what you say when you sell 10% for 10 cents. Is that justifiable? Is your project developed enough or has enough potential to have this valuation even before launching? That's the first consideration that comes to mind immediately. The second one is the fact of having a public sale. So we've seen a trend over the years that projects are recurring less for public sales because they don't really have control or alignment with those investors, and more towards like private investors. And they already have a bucket for that, right? So they put 20% for early investors and partners. So this is the other consideration that comes to my mind. Is the 20% not enough? How much money have you raised there? Do you still need to expose yourself to a public sale? And if so, does the valuation make sense?
Yeah, and I want to talk about a sort of related note to this. And so this is talking about essentially saying keeping an initial price based potentially on some benchmark of what other projects may be selling at. There's an issue I see a lot with teams where they're picking a certain price for a token, or I'll generalize this even to NFTs, for example, where they'll think like, okay, I see other projects are selling their NFT for this amount, this sort of market cap, I'll price mine similarly. And then that's creating a design constraint for them down the line, especially if they're trying to build out a complex economy. So you can, as an example of this, if you think about like MMO games, so games that like a space MMO, NFTs. I'm not going to name names, but there are companies out there that have sold a certain number of ships or items or weapons in their game at a certain price to users. Now, down the line, as they build out their economy, if they're going to want a user-created economy where people can craft resources or mine resources, craft them into things, and create and sell them to people that want to use them, and ideally have them be destroyed in conflict and continue that loop over and over. If early on they just throw on a random price to this without really thinking about the economic implications of any given price that they set on their unique economic situation, then they're limiting themselves because they've in that example have s essentially said, all right, this is something that can be, this is the value of that item in game, or it has to be at least this value. Otherwise, we've ripped off our early buyers. And so that is going to impact how difficult it is to get the resources to craft that item in game. And so that's a massive design constraint that could affect the sustainability of your economic system down the line, just because you didn't put very much time into thinking about your initial pricing. Just got it off a benchmark or just copied it from a recommendation from ChatGPT.
So it sounds like, token pricing is not just based on nothing. It's not just based on I just create a random price, a random amount of tokens to sell, but we really need to think about the kind of assumptions, test the assumptions, understand what is the token value based on. Because if it's a unit of exchange, then it's really based on the velocity and utility of the token in the system. If it's based on store value, what kind of value can be created and how is it stored in the token? And it's not just based on a random number that we're looking at and sharing it in the space. It's also important to consider the various kind of token types, the games, the business models, the game genre, and the various kind of people we're addressing when creating the token price. Keith also mentioned something about NFTs, and I think it's important to also remember that games are not just fungible tokens. With games, you also have different kind of tokens, and designing them will also be key, which ChatGPT did not do. So before I open the floor up to people and to everyone, I just want to do one last question to Kiefer, Gio, and Fami. What would be the pros and cons then of having someone like humans doing it instead of ChatGPT? In your experience, what are the pros and cons?
Yeah, I can start on that one. I think something that we discuss a lot is that big part of our job is being creative, especially because we're working in Web3. It's a sector that is new. It's developing now. Even the most established projects are making mistakes, and we have to learn with those. So being creative when you see challenges that you have to that you want to solve, is one of the biggest strengths that we can bring as like consultants, as humans. Right, when we talk about ChatGPT or any other AI, they're based on data, and this data is something that is already developed. So it has a very, very big constraint of like you don't have anything, no innovations in your design. And I think that's very troublesome when you have, again, every protocol has a different client profile, has different objectives, and have different limitations. And when you use as a resource something that only uses data that is available, I think it really, really loses this part of like being creative and finding solutions for your problems specifically. So I think in my mind, when we're working with clients, a lot of the time that we work in internal meetings is brainstorming and bringing up new solutions or like ways and trying to break them ourselves. So every new solution that comes in, we try to think of what are the ways that this could go wrong. And if we can find at least one way, we discard it and we go to the next one. And this process is really, really enriching, right? A lot of times we come up with new solutions that we have never thought about and that the market hasn't done. And I think this is like one of the biggest challenges for people just recoursing for public data or like past data from projects.
Yeah, definitely. I would even say one of the biggest advantages of like working with humans is that humans have the ability of thinking out of the box and coming up with new ideas, while the AI can only do things that have been done in the past technically, because it requires a lot of machine learning to then understand how things are done in general. But AI is not necessarily the best in taking decisions or being creative or coming up with new ideas or thinking out of the box. AI could be a super helpful tool to guide the human or give more tools in the hands of the human that then can use those to decide what is the best strategy moving forward. But although a lot of people think that AI machines can be super creative, their creativity is really limited to the data that they have absorbed already. And in this case, we're talking about like very custom projects, and each project has its own needs. And that's why I think the human side is way more important than whatever ChatGPT or AI machine can spit in terms of like token strategies and token engineering.
Yeah, and on the point of the crypto space moving very quickly, it can be difficult for AI to actually have a good data set to pull all these learnings from. And a lot of this these potential insights are in a lot of different formats. Some of the most innovative things in this space that can really be used to get a project ahead of the curve are on Twitter, on Discord, in spaces, and all of these different contexts, locations, and formats that aren't readily applicable to putting into these AI models. And then also, when working with a project, there's an element of taking the knowledge and helping them figure out what they don't know. It's helping them with unknown unknowns, because AI is good if you know specifically what you ask it. The answer is only as good as the question that you give it. But in with designing token economies, there's a lot that is so custom and a lot that is just outside of the skill set of a particular project, that a big portion of helping them design their economy when we come in as consultants is helping with the unknown unknowns and helping them not just with what they say they need, but what they really need and they don't know that they need. And what we find in the end of that is that we always kind of blow away expectations and kind of show that there are all these kind of missed things that projects don't necessarily think about or know to try to solve themselves, that AI would not be able to kind of actively come out and show any particular need.
Thank you. So anyway, if you guys have questions, just raise your hand and I'll let you speak. So to summarize, I know with AI, with ChatGPT, there's a lot of things, you know, like generative AI, where you ask AI to, you just give in prompt and AI comes up with art or something creative. It's important to note that all these creative stuff is really based on existing models out there. So in this moment right now, crypto is a very, very new space. Token economics is a very new space. And for better or for worse, we don't have enough data sets to exhaust all the opportunities at how we can be very creative with token models. Just like how we can be creative with different kind of business models and SaaS models. With that, you know, the space, Web2 space has matured quite a bit. So a lot of the things that we don't know are known unknowns. Here today, we're talking a lot about unknown unknowns. We're talking a lot about cross-pollinating ideas from different areas, from different business models, from different knowledge space. And that's where creativity comes out as well. Yes, you can argue that AI can be very creative. At the same time, it's creative based on the existing things out there. A lot of the things that is done in the token economic space, it's more than just picking a pie chart and figuring out how to be creative with slicing the pie. A lot of things in economics today is quite focused on how do we create very robust, sustainable models? How do we understand the business model and then turn that into economic solutions, into complex systems, and make sure that they all balance and make sense in the long run? So yes, ChatGPT can come up with a great general idea. Don't get me wrong, it's a good general idea. But to go into the details to really build a business model, to build a sustainable self-financing token economy out of it, it will still take a good amount of time. So if any of you have questions, just feel free to raise your hands and I will let you speak. But moving forward, let's talk a little bit about, let's talk about specific topics and see how the AI approach it and how do people approach it, whether it be a consultant or if you are a founder of a project. So let's look at token initial allocation, because this is something that people talk about quite often. And when you ask ChatGPT, they just give you, okay, create 1 billion tokens or 100 million tokens. What are the things to consider when we are approaching the topic on token initial allocation?
Yeah, so again, I think this ties back to one of the first points that we talked about. AIs are pretty much going to be looking at data-driven approaches and seeing what other people are doing, while consultants are going to be looking at many other aspects of it. And I think one of them that we didn't mention is actually social impacts or like ethics or values that the company has. And that's something very big, right? Every client has different set of expectations, different set of values, and different ethics that they want to follow. And this creates the constraints and creates really the direction that we should go for. And AIs don't have the best capabilities of really understanding those ethics, unless you can describe them very well. But even then, they can't really interpret like us humans do. So I think that in terms of token initial allocation, there's a lot about what the project actually needs instead of what the market has been doing that the AI doesn't do.
Yep. To maybe give an example on that point, like one of the things to consider is how many tokens you actually have, and because that's a very arbitrary figure. What really matters is the market cap, but you can slice that up with any supply of tokens, which will give you a corresponding price. And something that some cryptocurrencies do is they create a really big supply. And then that creates this a token price that's small fractions of a cent. And this can be used to target certain kinds of users that are generally like retail that have very little knowledge of the space. So think like your classic Dogecoin buyers. And these kind of users, it can be somewhat exploitative because you're using this kind of psychological manipulation on them with this pricing strategy that kind of preys on users that don't really understand that there isn't really a difference what the actual price is and what impact that will have on it going up from a fundamental perspective. And so it's really just preying on that like speculation and less informed buyer, and that has ethical implications. So that should be considered when making any recommendations about that sort of token pricing.
Well, with that, we are out of time, unfortunately. So thank you, everyone, for coming on board. And thank you for listening to our chat. If you have anything you want to discuss about, just feel free to just tweet us and we'll just reply. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, or shoot me a DM. Those are always open.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.